For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Oh yeah, it's Super Bowl week. We are ready to rock. You're listening to Bolt Brady and his bro coming at you live from Radio Row in Tampa. Not quite, but we could be. Let's say what's up to Bolt, the El Macarena.
We're back in action. Let's get ready to rock and roll.
We are well rested with the week off.
There's a boatload of trades that took place.
Football-wise?
Well, trades are like people going to other teams. How about Big Dwayne off to the Steelers?
Yeah,
Dwayne Haskins.
Back page news.
Dwayne, back page. They said, buddy, we'll give you 875 dimes. No incentives.
Those aren't the back pages like some of our friends use.
Whoa.
Wink, wink.
Easy, easy.
No, Dwayne had like one other offer from Carolina, I think.
No, did he have an offer or they were just...
It was that same thing. Like, they don't call it practice squad. It's like developmental type contract. It's something how they word it.
Meatball squad.
It basically means the chips aren't guaranteed unless we see something, I think.
Yeah, I read a little bit about Carolina. I was like, when I read that, because Matt Rhule, I'm like, oh, this guy's turning this thing around. When I saw that, I was like, come on, Matt.
That he even reached out?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Right, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that other guy, PJ, was it PJ Walker, came in when Bridgewater was out. That guy looked good coming out of the XFL.
Right.
So, don't touch the Dwayner.
And then Patricia gets let go from Detroit and heads back home with the tail between the legs.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
heads back to New England.
His tree hasn't done well when they branched out.
Well, that's why they're afraid, like, you know, like with Eric Bieniemy and stuff, too. They're wondering, hey, is it the head coach that's running the show here or what?
Yeah, Andy Reid, you know, Peterson, and he won a Super Bowl in Philly. I mean, his have done a touch better, but the disciples of Big Bill from New England have not. I mean, McDaniel can't really get that second sniff since he dogged the Colts. No one really wants to come back at him.
Oh, you think that's the reason?
It didn't sit well with people, but people are also like, I don't know if he's the real deal.
Huh. Well, and then the big news is, I mean, the Rams have been taking some action first. It kind of flew under the radar a little bit. Raheem Morris, which was the defensive coordinator for the Falcons, but then took over as the interim head coach.
He used to coach head coach of Tampa, too.
Okay, so he's heading to the Rams as their defensive coordinator. And then, holy cow, must they have had a party down in L.A.
Shipping your boy out?
Big Goff is adios.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And here comes Stafford from Detroit. When I read that one, I'm like, dude, that's like when you used to trade baseball cards back in the day. And you're like, hey, you want to trade this for that? And you're like, there's no way this guy's going to say yeah. And he goes, yeah. And you're like, okay, all right, hey, I got to go home now. See you later. Like, I'm getting out of here before they want to trade this back.
Well, I mean, they gave up a lot. I guess Stafford told the Lions, like, hey, the one place you can't send me is New England.
Right, I don't get that.
And while Patricia's going back there.
Oh, is that why?
And so, I mean, they said his training camp was a little too much for NFL-type dudes. And that's the thing they say. Like, are you trying to act like a Belichick and be this hard ass and run that sort of camp instead of doing your own thing?
Right.
So, I don't know.
But obviously, Patricia's not running the show back in New England. That's Big Billy.
No, but I guess maybe he's picturing, like, what it's like to be there full-time.
Huh, interesting.
And then they just said, you know, I mean, the Lions gave up a boatload.
Well, yeah, so I guess they don't have a...
The Rams.
The Rams don't have a first-round draft choice for, like, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's unbelievable they ditched not only Goff, but the contract. Remember how they're just overpaying him? He was getting like $33 million a year.
Yeah, they said it's kind of like the format the NBA uses to get those big salary dumps. You have to give up like a couple first rounders, basically.
Right.
And so they kind of emulated that formula, they thought. And I guess Washington was right there, but I don't think they gave up the second first rounder.
Well, so then Stafford and McVay took it out in Cabo San Lucas.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I think they were both down. I don't know if they were both. It was kind of confusing. I don't know if they were both down there or they went together. But anyway, I think they might have been down there together with their wives. And God, they must have both been doing jumping jacks at the table. They must have been so stoked.
Yeah, McVay, you know, played the right thing to say role for a few years there.
Uh-huh.
But
you can tell this year.
He's like, he is holding us back.
Oh, yeah, he is. So, I mean, they're contenders. And now, you know, the NFC West, how about you got Russ in Seattle, Kyler in Arizona, now Stafford. And it's time for the Niners to make a move.
I would think this is the offseason they probably do, too.
Well, they have to, or else they're going to get boat raced in their division.
That's what, I mean, they mentioned a couple of those front runners for Deshaun, but, I mean, it might be someone who's a little more off the radar that sneaks in and does it.
With Deshaun?
Uh-huh.
It'd be legit if the Niners got it.
Right. I'm sure they're thinking of something.
Yeah, they need it. They're like, this isn't cutting anymore. We need the ball.
So, let me just sweeten the pot a little bit. Let's do it.
Right.
Yeah. What
stuck out to me?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, the Green Bay game, I mean, it was probably, you know, one of the worst coaching moves I've ever seen.
Terrible.
I mean, literally, 4th and 8, down 8 points with 2:20 left. And instead of going for it, he decides to kick the field goal. I just don't get that. That was unbelievable. Not to mention your quarterback is going to be the MVP of the team, so it's not like it's some sap.
Yeah.
And then here's the other thing about that. Let's just say that they don't get it, okay? At least they're backed up, right? They're mm-hmm. on their own 8-yard line. And instead, you kick the field goal, there's 2 minutes left, and now you have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You don't think that guy's going to be able to run the clock out, you idiot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just disappointing because coaching just kills me. I mean, at the lower levels, like, you know, the high school and stuff, you're just lucky the guy volunteers. It kind of sucks because he doesn't know what he's doing. And then college, it gets a little bit better. You think in the pros, the guy knows what he's doing. I mean, Aaron and the team must have been so disappointed. It's like, as a coach, you're supposed to put your players in positions to succeed.
Right.
Right? And that's the number one goal. Hey, listen, you're fast. Let's get you the ball. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not rocket science sometimes. But then, like, hey, you know what? You're fast, so we're going to start throwing, you know, the ball to the other guy. And hey, you've got a really good arm as a quarterback, but we're going to do the option. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that's just stupid plays that coaches do growing up. But in the NFL, when your coach makes a move like that, I mean, I can't even imagine how much whiskey Big Aaron had that.
Yeah, he bit his tongue correctly there,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did.
Just let him throw it.
Oh, dude, I was checking him out on the sideline. And I'm like, and he looked dejected, obviously. But, dude, they're lucky he didn't come over and grab the clipboard and throw it on the ground in front of the coach. You know? And,
yeah.
And then that game, like, and then before that at halftime, okay, wow, was that incredible that they gave up the touchdown.
Oh, man.
Right? It was 48 yards to Big Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And so the DB King, I'm like, dude, this guy needs the 409, which, and then I backtracked. I looked at it a little bit. I go, well, hold on a minute. That guy's out on an island there. What kind of defense are we running?
Yeah, no, the wrong call, too.
Right. So that was big Mike Pettirin. And that guy gets the 409, clean it up, spray it down. And apparently I wasn't the only one that decided that this guy needed a 409 because Green Bay goes, pack the bags, call your realtor, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.
Kind of like that Jets-Raiders game when the Raiders won to end that regular season game this year.
Well, yeah, but kind of, see, that was their only option that they could have, right, to go deep. But yeah.
But it was one-on-one. And
no free safety. Yeah, no safety help. I mean, it was incredible. And King actually even had, like, inside technique. So it's like, I don't know, it's just really – really awkward call, but yeah, the Packers had enough of it too. They go, see you later, pack them.
Well, Big Miller, you know, like you've told me, he came from a sprinter's background too, so he can move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they must have not thought he could, and he goes, see you later. So anyway, that was almost the ball game right there. And then you're still like, okay, here's Aaron. We still got Aaron. They come out at halftime. They get the ball. They start moving it up to like the 40-yard line, and then Aaron Jones goes, whoopsies.
The helmet or something hit the ball, yeah.
Yeah, fumbles it. They take that to score, and that's what we like to say is ball game.
Sure is.
I mean, they're down 18, and Aaron still kind of, you know, was able to try to kind of get them back. But you knew right then that this is going to be tough.
Yeah. One thing I'm ready for Aaron to change is his warm weather fits.
Well, that's what I've always... You mean like, yeah.
The mock turtle and the solid black high top kicks.
You mean when it's cold?
Just in general. Let me work on those fits a touch there for you.
Well, the problem is he's got no pipes, right? So he's trying to hide those bad boys. He's got no yokes.
No, but it's just like the George Clooney straight collar under the jersey thing.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, someone needs to pull him over and go, dude, let's work on the fits here a little bit.
Right.
Because like Deion said, I mean, if you look good, you play good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it sucks for him. He had an incredible year. I mean, he probably will be the MVP.
Did you, on a side note, did you see Deion? He's down in that. He took that coaching job in Jackson or whatever.
Right.
Did you hear someone stole his, like, boombox?
No.
Yeah, I guess he had his truck down there because he's down there prepping the school and stuff. And he put on his, like, Instagram or something. He's like, dude, you know, I'm trying to help out the community down here. And someone went and took my beats, like, my boombox out of the back of the truck. He's like, come on, we're better than this. And I guess the next day someone returned it to where he's staying and was like, my bad, didn't know it was yours. Keep doing good things for the city down here.
That's what I was going to say. They probably didn't know it was his.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That guy's unreal.
So we'll see what he does down in Jackson.
And then we had the KC game. And
not even close.
That one played out how we thought it would.
Mm-hmm. I was wrong to even say the Bills might have a little chance there.
Well, you weren't the only one, though. There was plenty of people. And, you know, there was good handicappers, too. Well, I don't know about good, but there was handicappers, we'll say, that were like, hey, yeah, they've got a chance here to win. And I was just like, not against Patty at home, you know. And they even spotted them 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
How about they come down, they get the 3 points, and then how about the guy muffs the punt on the 3-yard line?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Let's just spot him 9 points. And Patty goes, this almost matters.
Right.
Lace them up, guys. Let's get ready to rock and roll.
I gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I do. So I was kind of thinking about their squad, and I'm like, these guys are a joke. I mean, Patty is a joke. He hasn't played, you know, the entire Cleveland game, but are you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, okay, Patty's had 11 drives. And in those 11 drives, Patrick and the squad have 7 TDs, 3 field goals, and only 1 punt.
What do you mean 11 drives?
Like they've only had 11 drives in the playoffs, like where the offense has had the ball.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't even seem right.
Well, it is.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, if you add up those points, you know, 28 plus 9, you know, that's how many points. Because remember, they didn't score that much against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so let me back up. This is only drives that Patrick's been in.
Okay.
Yeah, because he got knocked out of the Cleveland game.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Right. So, and that one punt was the first drive of the Bills game. And if you recall, they were started to hum, and then all of a sudden it was third down, and Tyreek dropped it, and they're like, ah! And then they punted, and the rest of the time they go, we're scoring on every possession. So, I mean, if you had those stats in the red zone, that'd be unreal.
Yeah.
7 TDs, 3 field goals. Nope. That's just when Patty touches the ball.
Right.
Huh. Come on.
Well, the Bills just, it was their offense that just looked out of sorts. You know, they just couldn't do much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to keep up with those guys. They're going to do their thing.
Right.
So Allen just looked like the younger guy there that would look inexperienced.
Well, yeah. See, and that's the main thing. Like, that was my main handicap. So I was like, dude, come on. I mean, this guy's the most improved player, you know, for sure this year. He had a great year. I mean, the future looks bright. Guy's not ready to go into KC and take on Patty right now.
Mm-hmm.
No chance.
I mean, they're only a year apart in age, but just, you know, in terms of where they are career-wise, a little different.
Oh, yeah. Did
you see the Bills? I mean, they say they need some new weapons, obviously, for a little help. But they said big Zach Ertz might be going up there because Philly's going to probably part with him.
Well, I saw that Philly was going to part with him, but I didn't know that's what they who was taking Zach looking at him.
Yeah, no, it said they want to make a move on him. So,
well, he's got to be bummed. I mean, dude, his last year in Philadelphia was terrible. I mean, he was in the same breath of, like, Kelsey and the rest of the legit tight ends. And this year was just like, I mean, people probably even forgot who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy owners were seriously bummed.
They're like, your wife's the one that plays professional soccer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, your wife's the pro athlete in the family, right?
No, he's a baller. He's from the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, he is. He went to Stanford.
But, you know, he's the 30 Bills now, so we'll see what he's got. I mean, he's got something left.
Oh, for sure he does. Plus, he's going to be pissed off. He'll ball.
He's not like your boy Witt and just burning out there still.
Oh, actually, you know what? It's funny you brought it up. I just read today. He took a new job coaching high school football.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In Texas?
I believe it was Texas, yeah.
He did, like, the one-day contract to or he's going to, whenever the new league year starts, to retire as a Cowboy.
Yeah. Yeah, he should.
Him and Olsen. Greg retired, too.
Oh, Greg. Yeah, Greg was fighting the injuries.
He's going to be, like, the Fox broadcast, like, on their number two team or something.
He is going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I remember hearing something about that.
Yep, so we'll see what we got up in Buffalo next year. But, Patty.
Well, now it's time for the Super Bowl. And it was funny with all this Super Bowl talk. You know, they start talking about, like, previous Super Bowls and what have happened in the past. And then actually I was talking to Mom because she had, when we lived in Colorado, this was back in 1988, she had the Super Bowl party. Do you remember that as a little friend?
Mm-hmm. Vaguely.
And so anyway, Mom and I were talking about how, you know, it sucked because the Broncos lost. They were playing Washington. Back then they were called the Redskins. Now they're the Washington football team. Got that correct there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we were talking about how the Broncos lost. And Mom was like, God, this sucked having a Super Bowl party and they lost. Well, dude, I saw that, like, they brought up that Super Bowl. Get a load of this. Imagine you're having a Super Bowl party like we were, and the Broncos were ahead 10-0. Party is juiced.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going nuts. Second quarter comes. Whoopsies. Broncos lose the lead. They give up three touchdowns. It's 21-10, Washington. Final score, 42-10.
Mm.
Dude, can you imagine that? You've got this Super Bowl party. Everyone's rocking 10-point lead, and then they don't score the rest of the game. Outscored 42-0 bagels.
I remember, and this is well before, like, flat screens, you know? I remember, like, you could rent, like, big TVs back then, and Mom rented, like, a 40-inch probably, but it was, like, on rolling wheels.
Right.
From, like, Crazy Larry's TVs and VCRs. And you roll it in the extension cord so everyone can see what's going on.
Oh, it's awesome.
But that happened to us, too.
With the TV color?
I think so. Yeah, no, that happened to us with the Niner one. We went to that Super Bowl party at our friend Big Ned's in the Kaepernick Ravens one. You know, and everyone's juiced back and forth. They had the blackout with the lights.
Yeah.
Kind of a lull there, but then, you know, good game. And then if you're cheering for that team, and like that party just kind of like ends.
Well, not for everyone. Mm. Because I remember correctly that I had the Ravens at that party. Wasn't a very popular guy. I kept the mouth down, but I remember it.
Right.
And actually, if you remember, I took them before the playoffs started. I put chippers on them.
Mm.
So that was a good one for me.
Right. Ray Lou and company.
Oh, yeah. And then the other Niner, like, Super Bowl memory that I'll never forget, because this is when we first started getting into sports investing, 1995.
Steve Young?
Yes, it is, Steve, versus the Chargers. And that squad was so unreal. Okay, just think about this now what you know about sports investing in Super Bowls. Guess what the line was? 1995, the Niners versus the San Diego Chargers. This is supposed to be the NFC against the AFC's best.
I know. It was a double digit.
Oh, double digit. How about this? It was almost three touchdowns. It was 18.5
points. Oh, wow.
How about that? I mean, can you believe that? This is the Super Bowl. And you know what? Me and all my amigos were like, doesn't matter.
They covered.
Does not matter. Third play of the game, 44 yards. Steven to JR, otherwise known as Rice, number 80. Mm-hmm. Touchdown. Seven bagels. Three plays into the ball game. Next series out, Eric Davis, pick six to the house. I mean, it was 21 bagels before you know it. And Jerry Rice had three touchdowns. Steve Young threw for six. Final score, 49-26. That's a cover. It was awesome. That was probably the best Super Bowl, I think. One of them.
Yeah, that was a good one. I mean, if that's your squad.
Well, right.
Not if you're the Chargers fan.
No. I mean, that Chargers team, all they had on it was Big Junior Seau, our buddy.
Oh, love him.
Right. Why don't you tell the story about when we saw Junior?
Yeah, back, I don't know, was it the late 80s maybe?
Well, it was right before his junior year at USC.
Yeah, so we were in Southern California with our dad, like at Manhattan Beach or some one of those.
It was Lagoon. Maybe I should tell the story.
Go for it.
you're chopping it up here a little bit. So we were at Laguna Beach, and Junior Seau was a linebacker that played for USC, and then he went to San Diego. And he was just a monster. And so we were at Laguna Beach with our dad, just kicking it. And over on the basketball court, I'm like, whoa, look, there's Junior. And so we went on over, and Junior was doing a commercial shoot or something. Or no, it was a magazine.
Like Cal High Sports or something.
Yeah, magazine shoot. And so he was like dunking like two basketballs at the same time. And mind you, this guy's playing outside linebacker, and he made it look like the hoop was 9 feet tall. Mm-hmm. I mean, or not like 8 feet tall. It was a joke. And so anyway, we went up to him and said, hey, Junior, can we get a picture with you? We still have that picture floating around somewhere. And I mean, dude, I thought I was big at the time. And this guy was teeny.
Shirt off. Those tight, like, bike coaches shorts on.
I mean, dude, his pecs were just like knocking us in the face. They were so big. He was 250 at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, 250, holy cow, that's when people started getting teeny and fast. So anyway, Junior was always our boy, and that's why we used to eat at his restaurant after the games.
Yeah, Seau Sports Lounge in San Diego. It was great.
Right? The one time we got to eat with the players.
Mm-hmm. So we always cheered for him.
Yeah, I was thinking back on the players. Do you think that... So when we went into this restaurant, they let my brother, my dad, and I go eat with the players because they thought we were players. And I was thinking about this driving up here. I was like, do you think they kind of thought that I was like kind of looking like the yoked wide receiver punt returner, or thought maybe you were the place kicker? And
Shit. I had the Chargers hat on.
That's right.
I mean, I could sneak into the Oscars if you need some pointers. You just got to act like you've been there.
And so we went up and ate with the players. That was legit.
Oh, you want to get into a movie theater for free? I got you. Now, all right. So what do you think about this Super Bowl?
Well, so what do you got for the lines? What lines?
Plus three.
Right.
For the Tampa Bay Bucks. Mm-hmm. Playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the travel thing? Like, they can't come in. KC can't come in until 2 days before this year. I'm sure everyone's heard about that.
Well, so is it only 2 days?
That's what they were floating around. I don't know if they've kind of landed on something else. But, you know, Tampa obviously gets to stay in their own home and in their beds until they go to the hotel, I'm sure.
Well, so hold up, though. I think this is kind of an advantage for KC because they're not on the road as long.
And doing the media blitz all week.
Right. So you're telling me the media blitz is only 2 days then?
I don't know what the schedule is, but okay. They're not doing the full week before.
Right. So I know that. So I think that is an advantage to KC because they're just kicking it there in their beds as well.
I'm still waiting for our credentials to show up in the mail so we can head down.
No kidding.
Colin Coward. Come on. Where's the address?
Yeah, that's right, Colin. So the line's three, which is interesting because that's the same line of when they played them in Tampa earlier this year. And if you recall, that was a boat race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think, who did you have on that one? Did you have Tampa and you got the push?
Yeah, I turned it off because I'm like, this isn't going well.
Okay, right. So,
I think I took KC, but you talked me into Tampa maybe.
Anyway, yeah, so that was a boat race. That's Tyreek had 200 yards in the first quarter. So, you know, the first game is no indication of the second game, but the line is the same. I mean, the home field advantage, like being in your own stadium, I mean, KC's already played in it this year. It wasn't even that long ago. So I don't think it's that much of an advantage. You can kind of see which direction I'm going here.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't get in front of this train called the Pattymobile. Wow, we're taking KC.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, Tommy and I, like I've said, we're 6-3 in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Tom and you can shit about it at Pebble here.
Tom, I've never gone against Tom. I've won 6 with Tom, and I've lost 3 with Tom. Never, ever would I go against him. But you don't need to look any further than the Discovery Channel, okay, with the Lions. There's that one badass king, and he overlooks the pride for several years, and then all of a sudden, the young buck rolls into the territory. Mm. And the big lion kind of gives him the growl, like to try to scare him off, and Patty goes, it's not happening. I'm taking you on. Let's get her going. It's time for me to take over.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know. That would take Tom down to the 6-4
Well,
versus the 7-3 in Super Bowls.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So here's the thing, though. I was thinking about this, like with Goff being in the, you know, the news a lot. And it just made me think, like, if Goff, if they came up to Goff and they said, hey, Goff, you're going to play in the Super Bowl, who would you like to face? And Goff would probably say someone like Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to try to pick someone he thinks he can beat. Patty, I guarantee you, Patty goes, I want Tom.
Well, sure.
Well, sure. Well, that's a great sign.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying anything against Pat.
No, I know, but I literally think Pat would be like, it's time for me to show that it's my pride now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the badass. I'm the king now. It's time to move over, Tommy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Tommy ruled. He ruled the plains for a long, long time. But now it's Patty time.
Yeah.
And here's another interesting way of looking at it, like with the line and stuff is, so if you look at the MVP, you know, what the books are giving at the MVP, Patty's minus 125 and Tom is plus 200. And normally quarterbacks win MVP. I don't have the exact numbers on it, but it's easily like 80% of the time or more that they win the MVP. And so they're saying Patty minus 125. I mean, and Tom's plus 200. So that's kind of another way of looking at, you know, what they think.
Yeah, I see this one being close.
Well, so what are you telling me? You like the points?
I don't know. I got nipped. You know, I usually like Tom too, but I took the packs. And I just, now I'm kind of like, this week I've been like, eh.
Well, so.
Now I can see Tom ending up at, I just see him at 70% winning percentage in the Super Bowl for some reason.
Well, so here's the thing. Nothing's wrong with that, but that's one of the hardest things. In this business of sports investing.
Cut personal ties.
Well, that, I mean, yeah, I definitely did that. But also just to be like, okay, hey, I went against Tom last week. I lost. It's not stopping me from going against Tom this week, though.
You're going to talk to your kids in high school like, son, I love you, but this visiting hoops team just has it. I'm slapping some chips on them with the book.
No, not family.
Right?
I never go against family.
Yeah.
And Tom and I aren't quite family yet.
Right.
But listen, I mean, the thing that I was talking about with the drives, with the 11 drives that Patty's, I mean, these guys are real tough to stop. And, you know, last year we took KC when everyone thought it was the Niners and everyone's talking about defense, this and that. And I mean, wow, the Niners defense was it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in that age now that you need offense. It's the best. Whoever has the best offense wins the ball game. And let's put it this way. Let's say Patty has the ball last. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's scoring. If Tommy has it, not sure about it. Not sure about it, Tommy.
Yeah. I mean, God, when you watch KC, it's just like he can go to Kelce almost anytime he wants just for a bailout, you know, or it seems like it's plus 15 and those other guys. It is tough. It's a machine.
Oh, dude. And, you know, and here's the other thing. I'm glad I remember this. In the Super Bowls, one of the reasons, it wasn't just Tom. I mean, let's just say at least 50% of it was Bill, okay? Bill, like, how about when Bill schemed against the Rams? This high-powered offense, blah, blah, blah. And they just got shut down. So, you know, part of them doing so well in the Super Bowl was Bill getting 2 weeks to prep for the game. That's like Big Andy doing it. Huge coaching mismatch here.
But Tom's seen it all. I mean, Tom's like a coach out there. I mean, he's going to be fine on his side of the ball.
Oh, well, hey, listen, kind of. I mean, you know, but then he doesn't have Bill, scheming up the defense or scheming up the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a lot of the players' first time to the Super Bowl. The KC was just there last year.
Yeah. I mean, this one's going to feel a little different, too. But they're going to have over 20,000 fans now, I think, though.
Yeah, I think they should have at least that. Here's some Super Bowl stats for you, numbers. Okay, so the favorite is 36-19 straight up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Repeating as Super Bowl champs, which obviously KC's trying to do, 9-4 straight up, but only 6-7 against the spread. Hmm. The over-unders, crazy enough, 26-26-1. And then here's probably the one you like the best, Trev. Mm-hmm. Your handicapper, the coin flip. Mm. 29 tails, 24 heads.
Sweet.
That might be your play.
That's a bet I don't get.
So, you know, we had talked about this last year. Or not this part, but the Super Bowl, the books have only lost in the last 28 years from when they started doing prop bets. Only twice. It was that Super Bowl that we were talking about with the Niners. I wasn't the only one that did it. Apparently, you know, everyone took them. And then it was one of the years the Giants beat the Patriots. I guess a lot of people had the Giants. Every other year, the book makes money, and it's because of the props. The props make up like 65%.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, are those just your – I mean, normally the people can travel to Vegas and just do that silly stuff if they're there in person, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly it. But then also the person that, you know, bets $50 or $100 a game, that now they're like, let's throw $500 or a dime on the Super Bowl.
What color is Tom's undershirt? Maroon.
But, you know, there's some professional handicappers that drill the props, too. But
like the receivers, the running backs, like total yards and stuff.
Well, there was one guy that was talking about, like, even things like shortest touchdown, okay, under a yard and a half. But he was saying that only if you can find that at minus 150 or lower. And I took a look at, like, now it's like minus 190. So that's the thing, listeners. You know, when it comes to these props, the only ones you really want to touch that have the best odds are if there's a yes, no answer to it or an over, under. The rest of them, garbage, garbage numbers you're getting.
Lighting your chips on fire.
You are. Well, you know, no, here's what it is. This is comparing it. So, like, let's say, you know, who scores first touchdown? All those sort of silly things. I like to call them silly. Like, they'll say Tyreek, MVP, you know, plus 900. Well, Tyreek should really be, like, plus 1,500. So, you know, that's like going up to someone and go, hey, can you give me a change for my $100 bill? And they go, sure, here's 420s. You're like, dude, this is $80. Like, oh, you're good. That's good enough. You know, that's kind of what it's equivalent to. So over-unders or yes-nos. You know, is Patty going to throw for over 326 yards? Those are okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the biggest bet I think we saw come in? I texted you. Was someone put the $2 million on Tampa?
2.3 mil, yep.
And he got it at 3.5.
Yes, he did.
Which is nice.
I just saw today that someone threw 600 thou on KC. So there's been several KC bets.
What would that pay him? Did you see?
No.
Well, those big chip ones come in like the day before, morning of.
Right, right. Well, so here's another thing that makes the Super Bowl very unique. So first of all, I mean, it's pretty much the tightest lines of the year because they only have the one game to address. Mm-hmm. What makes it unique, which, and I like here with KC straight up too, is that if you take KC straight up, like right before the Super Bowl starts, you're actually going to get really good odds. What I mean by that is, for whatever reason in the Super Bowl, is when people take the underdog straight up. You know, they go, forget the points. I'm just going to, so not even just Tom, just anyone in general. I'm just trying to try to win the big chips. I'm going to take the underdog. And so what that does, it is actually drives the line down for the favorite, the straight up line. So like currently, to give you an example, I think it's, you know, 170 or 75 to take KC straight up. You'll probably find that closer to like 160, closer to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you see your boy Billy Walters, fresh out of the pen, got the pardon? Known as the best sports gambler ever. He might be slapping something down on it.
Yep, the best sports investor of all time, Big Billy. Billy, welcome back. Give me a jingle if you want some input here.
You probably haven't had access to what's going on, but we got the team to take for you. But
B- Billy, hopefully someone's told you about our podcast already.
It's a whole new world out here since you've been in.
There weren't podcasts when he got thrown in.
No. All right, you got anything else you want to add about the game?
I think that's it. It's Patty time. 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Well, it'll be exciting. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, shout out to the sponsors for the week. Let's give it up to Chili's Bar and Grill. Great place to grab a bite and some drinks for some games. MyBookie.ag, if you want to put some coin down on a game, especially the Super Bowl, that's your place to do it. We're excited to watch the Super Bowl. We will be taking a little bit of break until March Madness, right?
Yep, we'll be back like second week of March to get ready to rock and roll. Another great, great time of the season.
And then we can chip Masters after that, etc. So thank you all for listening this football season. We've had a blast. Appreciate you guys reaching out to us on social media and email. Thanks for the kind words. We will catch you guys real soon. Enjoy the game.
See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.